Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Classic FM. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, country, rock and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the websites onthisday.com and AARP, the magazine. Question number one. It was on this very day, back in which year, that Gene Autry's song Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer hit the record charts? Was that A, 1935, B, 1949, C, 1958, or D, 1966? Gene Autry and Rudolph, which year was that anyway? And question number two. Which of these classic songs was not composed in the 20th century? Is it A, There's No Place Like Home for the Holidays? Was it B, Winter Wonderland? Was it C, Sleigh Ride, or was it D, Jingle Bells? So which one of these holiday songs was written before the 20th century? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of December the 2nd. Well, it was on this very day back in 1998 that First Lady Hillary Clinton and Garth Brooks turned on the Christmas tree lights in Manhattan's Rockefeller Center. And it was 66 years ago today, 1956, that Elvis Presley, Carl Perkins, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Johnny Cash recorded together the Million Dollar Quartet. The session would not be released for a quarter of a century, 25 years later. And in country and folk music news, we have this article entitled, The Great Rediscovery of the Forgotten 70s Folk Singer, Judy Sill. This is written by Esme Blegvad in The Guardian on the 24th of November, 2022. A new documentary sheds light on a brilliant voice of the era who never received the recognition she deserved. The story of Judy Sill, a relatively obscure figure from the early 70s folk rock scene, starts as another familiar fable of showbiz tragedy. After a chaotic youth of abuse, addiction, and petty crime, including heists on gas stations and liquor stores across California, Sill ended up incarcerated, first in reform school and eventually prison. It was there Syl became determined to pursue what she felt was her musical calling, and upon release she began playing jazz, bass, and flute in the dark basements of the Los Angeles club circuit. She was the first artist signed to David Geffen's Asylum Records in 1971, landing her a Rolling Stone cover and garnering the attention of music industry players like Graham Nash, who approached her as a producer enchanted by her sense of melody and structure, which was really exceptional. However, Syl was never quite able to prosper, which sucked her back into the addiction that eventually killed her, age 35, at her Hollywood apartment in late 1979. It's the kind of rock and roll calamity history is littered with, a fate many other might-have-beens have been lost to without fanfare. But decades after her death, Syl's out-of-print studio albums have begun attracting a modest but devoted fan base among a new generation, eager to evangelize an artist whose work shimmers outside the confines of time. Andy Brown and Brian Lindstrom sought to explore beyond the Wikipedia version of Syl's life with their documentary, Lost Angel, The Genius of Judy Syl, which premiered at Doc NYC this month and is streaming online. 9 years in the making, it is the first work combining all available biographical information about Syl, including newly unearthed interviews and personal journals. Indeed, the uncanniness of this genre-defying, Pentecostal-infused celestial folk swing, categorized by Syl herself as occult, holy, Western, Baroque gospel, was a double-edged sword. It's what prevented her sound from being absorbed by the audiences of her day, but also what was undoubtedly propelled her music into the public consciousness almost a half-century after her death. The article skips down and ends with this. If the real sorrow of the Judy Syl story is that she was never properly known, the driving force behind her revival is that this forgotten music just has to be heard. A resolution is attained by bearing witness. We know now and are listening. Judy Syl. Once again, the Judy is spelled J-U-D-E-E.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark.
Susan Boyle, You'll Never Walk Alone, from the musical Carousel, introduces our jazz and Broadway music news. Cameron Crowe, director of Almost Famous and Jerry Maguire, and writer of the Broadway show Almost Famous, the musical, talks with former Rolling Stone music editor Ben Fong Torres, who discovered the 15-year-old Crowe's writing talent. This is published in AARP Bulletin, November 2022. How did you fall in love with music writing? I fell in love with music in San Diego, living in a little basement apartment. I would go to get records from this record store in Pebble Beach. I would listen and get lost in the music, but I knew that I was not a guitarist or a musician. The bar was so high. I felt like writing was an avenue that made sense to me. We first published you in Rolling Stone 5 decades ago. Now you're 65. Looking back, what are the main lessons you've learned? I've learned to listen to the little voice inside that says, you can do it. You can send your stories to this guy and he'll read them. It is still the lesson of follow your instincts, follow your heart. I think everything I've done has been some version of that story. Be a warrior for your greatest dreams and intentions. You seem to have mastered the art of being forever young. What's the role of rock and roll in staying young? Well, youth is spirit, and it's also curiosity. Great music to me takes you to that place where you can appreciate something that feels timeless. I think this is one of the gifts of music. It lasts beyond your own lifetime. It inspires new generations, and it takes you to a place where you can just feel the potential of being alive. Who are your influences as a director? Well, I was lucky enough to spend some time with legendary Hollywood director Billy Wilder around the time that Jerry Maguire came out. I just knocked on his office door and created a relationship with him. He's my favorite because he was always about the characters. He'd have a wonderful plot that was always lively and exciting, but mostly you came away wishing you didn't have to say goodbye to those characters. You've won an Academy Award and other major accolades. What about failures? They always exist. If you ask for the gift of a long career, you're going to crash into some walls sometimes. The key is to keep going. In Almost Famous, the Lester Bangs character tells you that rock stars make you feel cool, and you're not cool. After all this time, do you feel cool? I will never feel cool. Why is that? Once you feel cool, you're not cool. B.B. King's The Thrill Is Gone introduces our rock and pop music news. It's an article titled, Ranking the Best Guitarists the World Has Ever Seen. This is published in dailymail.co.uk on the 7th of July, 2022. Choosing one virtuoso above another is incredibly tough. With everything from the Strat to the Les Paul, PRS Custom to the Parker Fly, power chords and tapping. Indeed, it was reported that the topic had prompted a number of intense debates. Although there were plenty of six-string players in the 1960s, the 1980s altered the paradigm of what could be done with a conventional electric guitar. We developed a list of the best guitarists in the world based on their methods and contributions to the instrument. Is there a shredder on this list that you like? Not all of them could be sampled here in this article, and their appearance in this list does not indicate their ranking. B.B. King, who's playing in the background now, was born in 1925. He was the first to introduce the world to a sophisticated guitar solo style. Using string bending and vibrato, he pioneered new techniques to electric blues. B.B., short for Blues Boy, is no doubt the unquestioned king of the blues guitar. He was a longtime blues friend and one of the all-time greats. King passed away peacefully in his sleep in 2015, at the age of 89. Next up, how about Duane Allman, who was able to play with his brother Greg Allman? Duane was killed in a motorcycle accident in which his internal organs were destroyed. He died while he was only 24 years old. Duane Allman, playing Ramblin' Man in the background now, was noted for his expressive slide guitar playing, as well as his improvisational ability on the instrument. The Allman Brothers Live at the Fillmore East is widely recognized as one of the best live rock CDs ever recorded. And then there's Carlos Santana, here playing the song Smooth with Rob Thomas. Santana was born in the state of Jalisco in Mexico. He walked onto the Woodstock stage virtually unknown and completely wowed the audience. In the 1960s and 1970s, his band, Santana, grew to notoriety by pioneering a mix of rock and roll and Latin American jazz. And last but certainly not least is Eric Clapton. Clapton is God, at least that's what the graffiti scribbled on London homes used to say. Eric Clapton, a member of the Yardbirds, Cream, Derek and the Dominoes, is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's first three-time inductee. Clapton has 18 Grammy Awards to his name and has sold over 100 million albums throughout the world. Here he is playing, at the bequest of George Harrison, While My Guitar Gently Weeps. Once again, this was a mere sampling of the over 50 other guitarists reviewed in this 2022 article published in the dailymail.co.uk.
Eight years old, couple cane poles, sitting down by the creek. Lines in the water, watching those bombers, seeing that red sun sink. Mama's on the porch yelling, supper's hot, y'all come and get it. We yelled five more minutes.
Scotty McCreary's Five More Minutes introduces our local and country music news. It's entitled Scotty McCreary's Song Inspires Another Hallmark Christmas Movie. This is written by Corey Dean in the News and Observer on the 27th of November, 2022. 1 year after the premiere of a Hallmark Christmas movie based on American Idol alum and country music star Scotty McCreary's Five More Minutes song, Viewers will soon be able to enjoy another film inspired by that hit tune. In an emailed news release sent Friday, November 18th by EBM, it said 5 more minutes, moments like these, will premiere on December the 17th on Hallmark Movie and Mysteries, that same channel that aired last year's McCreary song-inspired movie. While the new film shares a similar title to last year's film and is based on the same 5 more minutes song by McCreary, this year's film is not a sequel to last year's film and has a brand new storyline, the email from EBM said. In the new movie, a young widow's Christmas wish for her son is answered in unexpected ways when she returns to her old home. And the song, 5 More Minutes, debuted in 2017 and reached number one on the Billboard country charts. Billboard ranked the song as the third best country song of 2018, and by 2020, it had been certified double platinum. The song is a tribute to McCreary's late grandfather, Bill McCreary, who died in 2015. Throughout the song, McCreary sings about various stages of life, from childhood to teenage dating to playing high school football, wanting just a little more time, 5 more minutes in each moment. At the end, he sings of the last days of his grandfather's life, again wanting 5 more minutes to spend with him before he died. McCreary debuted the song to fans at the Grand Ole Opry in 2016. He told the NNO in 2018 that he got choked up the first few times he sang that song. "I think certain times it will still get to me when I think about life like that," he told the NNO then. "But nowadays when I sing it, I kind of look at the spotlights when they're shining, and to me, it might be a little weird, but I kind of look at it as Granddaddy looking down on me when I'm singing. It kind of gives me a little comfort." Moments like those, Lord knows I hit it. Yes, sometimes this old life will leave you wishing that you had 5 more minutes. So how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our second question, which of these classic songs was not composed in the 20th century? Is it A, There's No Place Like Home for the Holidays? Is it B, Winter Wonderland? Is it C, Sleigh Ride? Or is it D, Jingle Bells? Correct answer? Answer D, Jingle Bells. As noted in the October-November 2022 issue of AARP, the magazine, Jingle Bells was published in the 19th century, 1857. And the answer to our first question, it was on this very day, back in which year, that Gene Autry's song, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, hit the record charts. Was that A, 1935, B, 1949, C, 1958, or D, 1966? Correct answer? B, 1949. As noted in songfacts.com, the story of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was written in 1939 by Robert L. May, a 34-year-old copywriter for the Chicago-based Montgomery Ward department stores as a promotional gift for the store's customers. Montgomery Ward distributed 2.4 million copies of the Rudolph booklet in 1939. A total of 6 million copies had been given out by the end of 1946, even though wartime paper shortages restricted printing. Rudolph's story was made into a song when May's brother-in-law, the songwriter Johnny Marks, developed the lyrics and melody for it. Marks' musical version was first recorded by Gene Autry in 1949, selling 2 million copies that year and going to number one on Billboard's singles chart the first week of 1950. Rudolph is a great example of a character whose quirk or deformity turns out to be a superpower. First seen as a freak, he becomes a savior. The story reflects Robert May's own childhood difficulties as the smallest boy in his class, where he was taunted by other children. The Rudolph story is an extension of the classic Christmas tale, The Night Before Christmas, which finds Santa delivering presents on a sleigh powered by 8 reindeer. Published in 1823, the poem was written by Clement Clark Moore and officially was titled A Visit from St. Nicholas. St. Nicholas dates back about 2,000 years, but it was only in the early 1800s that Americans made him into Santa Claus, the giver of gifts on Christmas. Moore's poem did a great deal to popularize him. Sharp-witted children will wonder how Santa and his reindeer can see in the dark. The answer? Rudolph guides them with his shiny nose. The 1939 book in which the song is based tells of one particularly foggy Christmas Eve during which Santa asks Rudolph to lead my deer on the rest of our flight. Rudolph leaves a note so his parents won't worry and takes the lead, guiding Santa's sleigh through the darkness. He also pokes his nose into the children's rooms so Santa can see where he's going in the houses. When Rudolph returns home, attached to Santa's sleigh, the other reindeer, the ones who mocked his ugly nose, are astonished and talked him into recording it. And it went on to become the second biggest selling Christmas song of all time, next to Bing Crosby's White Christmas. Unlike Santa, the character Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is copyrighted, which is why in many modern Christmas stories, there are only the 8 public domain reindeer pulling the sleigh. You'll also notice that when Santa appears on his sleigh at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, it's without Rudolph. So now, in recognition of today's 73rd anniversary of this song's release, let's close out today's program with that 1949 Gene Autry rendition of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
The most famous reindeer of all, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer game.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.